Now let us look at another gospel invitation this morning. I'm aware that it's particularly hot today, and I'll try to be as brief as possible. Believe you me, this is nothing compared to the south of India. And in one church there, we were asked to wear a suit on a very hot and humid day. And by the time I got up to preach, I was about to faint, and I had to ask the congregation's permission to take my jacket off, because I think I would have collapsed if not. Now, we're going to look at one more invitation in the Gospel of John. We're going to go back in time slightly, because last Sunday morning we looked at John 7, Jesus Christ in the Feast of Tabernacles, standing up and saying, "If any man thirsts," not thinking of physical thirst, but spiritual thirst, "let him come to me and drink." Now, in our reading in John chapter 5, we're told that the Lord Jesus was in Jerusalem before the Feast of Tabernacles for another feast. Now, we're not told which feast this is. But what we are told is that on the Sabbath day, he was moved with compassion to go to this pool of Bethesda, which is by the Sheep Gates, and he there came across this sick man. And the invitation, the gospel invitation for us this morning, is the question he asked him at the end of verse 6. Do you want to be made whole? Do you want to be made well? And what I see here is a spiritual picture of this world. Is not this place this morning a Bethesda? You have this phrase in Hebrew. It means house of mercy, or possibly house of grace, or even the place of outpourings. Now, all of those phrases, to me, describe what the Church of Jesus Christ is about. We're in this world which is so full of spiritually lame, sick, blind, paralyzed people. You can pile one description upon another, and it doesn't do justice to the wretchedness of human nature. And in the midst of all of this, there is a house of mercy. And it is here that the Lord Jesus takes great delight to visit, especially on his day. But there is something even sadder about this pool, because we're told, as an aside, that these people were all waiting. So there were five porches around the pool, and in these porches were people waiting, because they'd heard a rumor that at a certain time an angel would come upon the waters, and the waters would be stirred up, and it would be the first person that would get into the water that would be healed. Now, there is nothing in the Bible to say that was true. All we're told is that the people had heard that this happened. Now, in many of the manuscripts that our New Testament is translated from, you won't even have that reference to the angel stirring the water. So it's not that important. But for us, you have all these people waiting for something to happen. And it's only one person that can be healed. And that poor person can't get to the water in his own strength, because all these people are lame. They need somebody else to carry them into the water. And there's something very, very sad about this. It's every man for himself. There's a phrase which says, "God helps those who help themselves." And isn't that the world for you? And we're all, in the end, left to our own devices. Because if we're all looking out for number one, Where is it going to leave us? It's all going to leave us alone, dying by ourselves. That's what life is all about in the end. You can read about some of the most famous people, some of the richest men and women in this world. And one thing that all their privileges didn't give them was at the end, they faced death, the last enemy, with no one. No one. Now, whenever I read this account, I'm reminded of Bada Chen in Moldova. You'll often have heard Maureen and others speaking of that place. It really is a place like this pool of Bethesda. And during the summer, many of us are privileged to go into that institution and to hold a little service, just as we're holding here this morning. And it's a grim place, and there's a little patch of grass surrounded by trees, and that's like a little Bethesda, a house of mercy in the midst of all this heartache. And people have to be brought in. Some people have to be carried because they don't have enough wheelchairs. Some of the wheelchairs don't even have wheels on them. And these people, sometimes 100 of them, will be gathered together on this little piece of grass. And do you know what, my friends? It's one of the greatest privileges in all the world to be able to present Jesus Christ to them. And I just want briefly this morning to present Jesus Christ to us in this Bada Chen of a world. And may we find here this morning a place of mercy. May we know an outpouring of the Spirit of grace. You know, we've got a referendum coming up soon, and you have different sides talking about their manifestos. When Jesus Christ came into the world, he had a manifesto, and you know what it was? He went into the synagogue in Nazareth, and he opened the scriptures, and he read from Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." And that is what Heath Church should be about. We've got a front as a church, and it can look quite grim, those two doors when they're shut. It can even look like a mausoleum. But heaven forbid that it is that. It should be a place of life, a place of mercy. And may it be that to us here today. Do you want to be made whole spiritually? You can't do anything about it, but I know a man who can, Jesus of Nazareth. So let's see how he does it. There are five porches, and I just want to give five reasons why my Saviour Jesus Christ is more than sufficient to heal you and me spiritually. You know, I mentioned in my children's address, I was brought up in religion. It was a nominal chapel-going Christianity, but all it was like some of these people here sitting around the pool of Bethesda. It was ritualistic Christianity. There was no life there. There was no hope there. There was no mercy there. It was just going through the motions. Now, my friends, that is not what we are offering here. I want to give five reasons why Jesus Christ is more than sufficient for our needs. Now, the first is this. If you think of five porches, this is the first porch. These poor people at the Pool of Bethesda, they were limited to one place. They could only be healed in that one spot. Now, is that what your religion is like this morning? Think of that place in France. Is it Lourdes? I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right. People go there in their thousands in order to be healed. And great emphasis put on the place. And I've met older people mainly, brought up in Welsh nonconformity. And when you talk to them about their hope of salvation, what is it that they're constantly talking about? A place? What's the place that they're putting their whole trust in? Chapel? I'm sure Wyn and Angela come across this in talking to people in West Wales. It's chapel. That's where we are placing our hope. In a place. A place. Now, you've come to the right place this morning in order to find salvation. But Jesus Christ isn't limited to this church. You can find Jesus Christ anywhere. This is what one hymnist says. Where'er we seek him, he is found. And every place is hallowed ground. Do you know what? I've heard of people converted in the back of a bus, while drunk. That place became holy to them because Jesus Christ met with them there. I'm sure if I can say this, one of the pastors in the Welsh Evangelical Church, I remember him growing up. He was quite a challenge. I had to look after the children one members' meeting. And then he took a year off, either before or after his university studies. And it wasn't in the church that the Lord dealt with him, but when he was traveling the world somewhere in Patagonia, that place became holy ground for him. And for me, when Jesus Christ came into my heart and forgave my sins, it wasn't even in a church service. It was a room in Pantycelyn Hall of Residence, room 222. So this is the first point. This is why Jesus Christ is sufficient. He's not limited to place. I greatly desire that every one of us here in this place today will find Jesus Christ. Oh, may the gospel's conquering power be felt by all assembled here. But if you don't feel the power here, I'm not going to give up on you, because Jesus Christ can meet you in your house. Jesus Christ can meet you in your university halls of residence like he did with me. Jesus Christ can meet you in the school. Jesus Christ can meet you in the far country. No one is too far from the reach of the mercy of Jesus Christ. I know many of you will have loved ones on your hearts who are not here this morning. They're not physically here, but spiritually the Lord Jesus can come to them where they're at. And slightly linked to this, ritualistic religion places too much emphasis on the outward, on the physical. I'll never forget talking to one lady in Badachen. The Lord saved her, and she's in glory now. She was killed. And she was wearing a cross. And the Orthodox priest going into the institution would tell the people, if you want to be accepted of God, you've got to wear the cross. The hope is in the physical. And when we were going in with the gospel, we were telling these people, you don't need anything outward to save you. It's Jesus Christ's cross being trusted in. That's the thing. It's, as our secretary mentioned, it's trusting in his work on the cross for us. That's what saves. And then it's not the wearing outwardly of Christ, but Christ in the heart. And you know, that lady, the next morning she came to the service, and she wasn't wearing the cross, but she had bruises because she'd taken off her cross, and people had challenged her, why aren't you wearing the cross? And she told them, I don't need to wear it. I'm trusting Jesus Christ dying in my place. He's in my heart. And she was beaten up. That's persecution for you. So that's one reason. Let me hurry through the other four reasons. Jesus Christ isn't limited to a place. And then, secondly, these poor people, this is religion for you. They're waiting. Leonard Cohen said, waiting for the miracle to come. It's not going to come, my friend. You'll be waiting, and you'll be waiting on your deathbed, but no miracle will come. I don't think that there was any substance in this urban myth, if I can call it that, about the angel stirring the water. The people were waiting for something that was superstitious. They were placing all their hope in something that was a figment of their imagination. Now, you get exactly the same in whatever religion you're in, whether it's nominal Christianity, whether it's another religion. People are constantly crossing their fingers, waiting for something to happen. And it can even come into our circle. Let me share this with you. Before I was converted, I was hearing testimony after testimony, and people kept on talking, not so much about trusting Jesus Christ, but about an experience coming upon them. And they talk about the feeling as electricity going through them. Now, the Lord can give us an experience of his grace. And when he does give us an assurance that our sins are forgiven, it is felt to the depths of our being. But the problem with me hearing one testimony after testimony talking about this was it was getting me to wait for an experience to come to me. Instead of putting my trust in Jesus Christ as I was constantly waiting on the Lord to come and give me an experience. It's not an experience that saves, and an experience comes afterwards. It's simple trust in Christ. Waiting. Are you waiting? Stop waiting. Believe in him where you're at. Don't rest in feelings. Feelings come and go. You know, we Welsh people, we're like this, aren't we, when it comes to feelings? I've said before, put Welsh ministers together on a Monday morning and they'll usually be down. Thank God our salvation doesn't depend on how we feel, otherwise we'd mostly be lost. This isn't a figment of our imagination. Do you know we've got a hymn, A Man There Is, A Real Man? There are extra verses to that hymn. A man there is, a real man, this is not superstition, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. And then, 'tis no wild fancy of our brains, no metaphor we speak. The same dear man in heaven now reigns, and that he suffered for my sake. This isn't some human idea. My friends, Jesus Christ was real when he was born of Mary in Bethlehem. God became a man, and he was real when he built up that bank of righteousness for us. And more than anything else, it was real blood that he shed for our sins on that cross. It was the real wrath of God that he took upon himself in our place. It was a real hell that he suffered so that we don't have to be condemned. And it certainly wasn't a metaphor, but real death that he conquered and he dealt with for once and for all. And he's real now in heaven. And we're not hoping in something that may happen. If you call on him now in heaven, he will hear you. He will hear you. No figments of our imagination. I don't need a relic. You know, there are so many relics of the cross in the world, you can build a Noah's Ark with them all. My Savior suffered once, and he's in heaven, and he's in my heart. And that's what counts. So Jesus Christ isn't limited to one place. Jesus Christ is real. He's no superstition. And then look at these poor people here. Only one at a time could be healed. Only one. One person. When the waters were stirred, once that person had gone into the waters, that was it. That was it. Oh, the fountain that Jesus Christ has opened for us in his blood is so different. How many people have washed in that fountain? You know, when you're talking to Jehovah's Witnesses, they talk about the 144,000 who are in heaven. And they are not going to be amongst the 144,000, because if you include all the people, I think, from the Bible, it's more than 144,000. So where's the hope? Oh, 144,000 people, and millions and millions of people since the Bible, the billions of people that have availed themselves of the pool that came from Jesus' side. And there's still power in the blood. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing of your sin? There is power, wonder-working power in the blood. And what this church experienced a generation ago was not just one person in a family being saved, but then a domino effect, other people coming to the Lord. That's how Jesus Christ delights to work. Judgment is his strange work. His speciality is having mercy. Oh, that we will see again this place becoming a house of mercy. I believe the Lord is working. I have seen him save the ones and twos, but oh, that many would come. You know, it's not just one. This is many being saved. And then let's go to the next reason. A certain time. Only when the water was stirred. A very narrow window of opportunity. What is it like to come to Jesus Christ? Is it just a little time? What did the writer to the Hebrews say? Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Or to use another analogy, the gate of mercy is open. It's not been shut since Jesus Christ came into this world. That door has ever been opened. Listen to the words we sang in that hymn. Today thy mercy calls us to wash away our sin. However great our trespass, whatever we have been, however long from mercy our hearts have turned away, thy blood, O Christ, can cleanse us and make us white today. Today thy gate is open, and all who enter in shall find a father's welcome and pardon for their sin. It's always open. It's 24/7. It's always for the sinner. It's free. It's not a narrow little window of opportunity. And then finally, and this is really the most important reason why Christ surpasses religiosity. Not only he's not limited to one place, not only is he real, not only is he able to save a great multitude, not only is it always the time, but these poor people needed others to carry them to the water. Don't you get a shiver going down your spine when you see the way that Jesus deals with this man? After he's asked the question, do you want to be made well? The sick man answered him, sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me. And immediately Jesus says, rise up, take up thy bed and walk. I don't need a pool. I don't need human helpers. I don't need any ceremony. My word is sufficient. And I'm telling you to believe in me. And it's the word of God. It's not human words. This is what gives me great encouragement, standing here in a pulpit. If I was talking about my own interests, I wouldn't expect anybody to be touched. But I'm here bringing the word of God. It's a great discipline to do this, you know. I'm tempted to speak on all sorts of other things. And I believe the devil is distracting many churches in our land with those isms. But what I'm bringing before us this morning is the Word of God. I'm just a little mouthpiece. I'm nothing else. I'm just a sign. And over the years, I'm becoming a bit more grotty, I think, as the sign. I'm a bit more weather-beaten. But doesn't that matter? It's the sign pointing to Jesus Christ. Believe, and you shall be saved. That's what God says, not me. In a few weeks' time, we'll look at the promise. This is the bare minimum of faith. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Are you calling on him for help? That's what he says, you're saved. Do you feel utterly powerless this morning? Pastor, you say to me, I've got no feeling, I've got no strength even to lift up my little finger spiritually. I can't summon enough faith to lay hold on Christ. What am I saying to that? Do you know what I'm saying to that? Good. Good. Because when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for us. We don't have to be strong to believe. To believe is to fall into his kind arms. We all know the words, just as I am, poor, wretched, blind, sight, riches, and healing of the mind, and all that I expect in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. You come just as you are. Or what about this? Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. Spurgeon calls these people here the waiters. Not people serving food, but people just hanging around. He calls the Pool of Bethesda the hospital of waiters. And sometimes that's a good description of the church. People just waiting for something to happen. And the Lord isn't telling us to wait. The Lord is telling us to come. And if we had to become better before we came to Jesus Christ, then of course we'd have to wait. But we'd have to wait an eternity before we were good enough. But he tells us to come just as you are. That's the sign outside of the hospital, just like that place near Seattle where a songwriter lived. And he wrote a song, Come As You Are. And underneath the name, Aberdeen, you've now got the words, Come As You Are. Oh, Heath Evangelical Church, if we wanted words to be written in bold letters outside our church, what would they be? Come As You Are. Oh, whatever church you go to, it should be a come as you are church. Because that's how Jesus Christ accepts us. And thanks be to him, he doesn't leave us where we were. But he cleanses us. And he regenerates us. And he makes us priests to him and sons of God. Well, there we go. It's a very hot day. I don't want to delay us any longer. But I think it's quite significant that we're not told what feast this was, because it doesn't matter. True Christianity's got nothing more to do with ceremonies. What we're told is that Jesus Christ visited Bethesda, and that Jesus Christ didn't need any of those things that those poor people were dependent on, that he saved a poor, wretched man where he was. And Jesus Christ can come to us at the Heath and come to you where you are at and save you. Call on him. Jacob's ladder, where did it go down to? It went right down to poor Jacob's feet. Jacob didn't have to make himself better to go on that ladder. And you and I can come just as we are to Jesus Christ. May this place be truly a house of mercy for his name's sake. Amen.